Hello, and welcome to episode 107 of Movies and Us. I'm TJ.
And I'm Marcus.
And this is the review of genre movies from the beginning, sometimes. Today, we are covering the 2015 release of the animated feature, Batman vs. Robin. This is... I'm trying to see what number... This is a sequel to The Son of Batman that we watched a few movies back.
That was episode 97. Wow, 10 episodes ago. Wow. That was episode 97.
Yeah, and it's so following... I actually think it's a sequel to Justice League 2.
The one before this?
Yes.
The Atlantis one? That shitty movie?
Yeah, this is the fifth film set in the DC animated universe.
So 1, 2. Was Batman Arkham part of that?
No, it was Flashpoint.
Oh.
Justice League War, Son of Batman, and then Throne of Atlantis, then this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So, just so we're kind of deep into this universe now anyway.
Which I'll say this now, weirdly I kind of found that refreshing in a weird way.
Like, yeah, this movie's not bad.
Yeah.
It is actually the best one we've watched so far.
Spoiler alert, yes. I came and wanted to hate this movie because that's just the title, Batman vs. Robin. This. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good. They actually had built upon the story. Maybe because last week we watched that shitty Justice League one.
Yeah.
And they had to, like, redo that movie because, like, you know, bad writing. This was like, oh, they actually improved upon the story as you're supposed to do in a sequel.
Yeah, there was actually a story to follow.
Yes. So it could have been that.
Yeah, I mean, honest, and it's actually surprising because they actually adapted three different comic book arcs to get this freaking thing.
It felt like that. Like, it felt like there's a lot in this movie, and there's a lot in this movie. It's only, what, an hour?
Yeah, this movie's only an hour and 20 minutes, but it feels like a lot happens in that hour and 20 minutes.
They got shit done in this. I was like, wow, this is a competent, good movie.
There was a couple of times where I checked the time. I was like, wow, there's still, like, 20 minutes left in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. So, I was like, wow, this is good.
And this is based off of the New 52 garbage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based off off of three different Batman New 52 stuff. And the Batman stuff in the New 52 was actually good. It's based off of the actual Batman comic, which followed the Quarter L storyline.
Okay.
It followed, which, by the way, that Quarter L storyline, I read all the comics just to, you know, because that's what I do. And that Quarter L thinks I had to read 9 issues of Batman, 10 side stories, and I think it was 9 issues of Nightwing just for the Quarter L stuff.
And continue.
So the Quarter L stuff, they also took stuff from the Detective Comics storyline, which was just the Dollmaker stuff.
Oh, okay.
Which I had to read 9 issues for that too, and one of them was because of the Quarter Owl stuff. But the Dollmaker stuff was the Quarter Owl stuff. They actually follow pretty through much the whole story, except for the stupid twist in the comic books. That's not necessary. They do a pretty good job in the movie. Good.
Okay. No, so I guess we'll get to that when we get to it.
I mean, I can bring it up now because it's not in this.
Okay. If you want, you can. We can get to the reviews either way.
No, I can get it out of the way now. In the comics, there's a politician named Lincoln March who...
Is he black?
No.
Oh, okay, it sounds like a black name in reference to Lincoln and marching and shit. That's all. Sorry.
No, it's worse. It's his name's Lincoln and March because... I'll tell you the spoiler in a moment. But he works for the Quarter Owls. Uh-huh. He was, like, adopted by the Quarter Owls, and it's revealed at the, like, in the last ones, he actually ends up killing the Quarter Owls, kind of like Talon does in this.
Okay.
But he ends up killing the Quarter Owls in the comics, and it's revealed that he was Bruce Wayne's brother, Thomas Wayne Jr. Of course, they make it vague enough at the end so that maybe it's not true because we know this is stupid.
Yeah, like, but, okay, but if the fans hate this, we can hop out of this.
That's exactly how they left it. So if the fans kind of hate this storyline, they can leave it off, but we'll destroy all the evidence just to make it vague enough so it can be either or. But it was stupid.
I've always hated that trope of just like, oh, I'm family. Like, of course. Like,
But like the spoiler is, Thomas and Martha Wayne were pregnant with a second child.
Okay.
And the Quarter Owls, they cross the Quarter Owls, so they cause a car accident. And the story goes that Martha lost the child in the car accident.
Okay.
And instead of her losing the child, the Quarter Owls, he survived, and the Quarter Owls took him and, you know, raised him and stuff like that. essentially. Gotcha. And they were going to, when Bruce disappeared for his training, they were going to bring him out as Thomas Wayne. But when Bruce came back, they threw it up. So they created a new name and they named him Lincoln March. You want to know why?
Why?
So stupid. Because the corners of the car accident that Thomas Wayne Jr. supposedly died on was Lincoln and March.
That's how I named characters DDTJ. Like, I don't know. Gnome she, because she's a female gnome. I don't know. That's stupid. That's so lazy.
Yeah. So now that the Detective Comics story arc line was the Dollmaker stuff in the beginning here, the Dollmaker is essentially a new villain coming onto the scene. And the first issue of Detective Comics is the Joker's on the loose. He's killing people, and he kills this one guy with a doll face, and they don't know why. And then at the end of the comic, he gets captured by Batman and sent to Arkham. But the Dollmaker comes in and Joker says, pretty much do it. And it's revealed at the end of the comics that the Dollmaker cut off the Joker's face and stapled it to a wall.
That's awesome.
But the Joker's still alive.
Well, yeah, but that's great. That's
fantastic. Joker asked him to do it, essentially.
Oh, is that why there's that cover of the Joker with his face stapled on or some shit?
Yes, because later
Yes.
It's funny. Later on in New 52 Garbage storylines, there's a character called the Joker's daughter. She lived in the sewer or something and found the Joker's face and stapled it to her face. And she became the Joker's daughter, a villain. And then later the Joker comes back for his face and then he staples it back onto his face.
That's awesome, but that's not how faces work. But that's pretty f***ing cool, though.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Unless
freeze dried it or something.
It sounds cool, but it's like... It's like... Really? Why? Because they don't really reveal
edgy, edgy. Like, ah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just like, this is just edgelord garbage.
Yes, but yes, yes.
But anyway, the rest of the issues of Detective Comics is just Batman taking them to Dollface. He's got like a family of people and stuff. And it's like, okay. And then the other story arc that they took from was the Batman and Robin comic book.
Yeah.
Which is Batman and Damian Wayne, obviously. But instead of Talon, like influencing Damian Wayne, it was this guy called Nobody.
Okay.
This is a guy that Bruce when Bruce went on his training mission across seas, one of the person he was training under was called Henry Descartes, who was like an investigator and a manhunter, essentially. And his son is Nobody, and they kind of trained together, and Descartes pretty much came back to Gotham tired of him not killing people and saying, kill people is stupid, you know, it's that whole kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he influenced, and Damian's, you know, anger issues, killing people and stuff, so it's his thing, but Batman's telling him, you can't kill, and so he kind of influences him over, and then Damian, you know, ends up back with Batman at the same time, but they replaced him with Talon in this, essentially.
Okay.
So, they combined all three story arcs, taking stories from different pieces of the three arcs and put it in here. Like,
I think they did a pretty good job, too, honestly.
Yeah. Surprisingly so. The only thing they cut out is the Quarter of Owls recruits people from Haley's Circus to become Talons, and Dick Grayson was supposed to be a Talon before...
Well, makes sense, because... When they revealed the Talon's face, like, is that the same picture? Is that decoration? Can't tell difference. So that makes sense to me.
One of the Talons is named William Cobb, which was Dick Grayson's great-great-grandfather.
Okay.
So, and what happens is Haley Circus is pretty much takes a kid from the circus and hands him over to the Quarter House to be trained up as the Talon for that generation. And then, and Dick was supposed to be the next one, but because his parents died and then Bruce came along, tumbled away, that never happened. So now the Talon's kind of, and it's a story arc later, the Talon's come for him and they're trying to, not the Talons, the Quarter House come for him, trying to make him a part of their organization and stuff. So it's all actually, the Quarter House stuff is actually really good.
No, yeah, when we get into it, I want to say some stuff about it for sure.
But yeah, that's like, that's all the comic book stuff. I didn't want to do too much comparison because obviously this is an adaptation taken from three different story arcs. There's no really comparing. They just kind of picked and choose what they wanted, like the best stuff they wanted for it, and put it into the movie. So, but I just wanted to consider, and I had to read like 40 comics in order to, I wanted to, you know, put that knowledge,
talk about it, so I knowledge to use.
But yeah, that's all I need to talk about. If I remember anything else, we'll go back into it. But we should get to the actual credits because we didn't even do that yet.
Wow. Holy shit. Yes, we should.
So this movie was directed by Jay Olivier, or Olivia. Olivia, there's no lug or anything. Screenplay by J.M. DeMattels. sure?
Yeah.
Produced by James. No,
maybe. How'd you say it?
Oh, that's an I, not an L, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an I. It's an, there's no L in that. Yeah, it's D-E-M-A-T-T-E-I-S.
Maybe it's Mattis? Mattias?
Mattias, yeah, something along that lines. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Produced by James Tucker. Sure, starring
James O'Mara, Stuart Allen, Jeremy Sisto, Sean Morrow, David McCallum from NCIS, Troy Baker, prolific voice actor, Kevin Conroy, for some reason.
Yeah, it's Thomas Wayne.
I mean, I get it, you know, hey, look, he's his dad in this, but...
No, like, but why not play Bruce?
Because I think James O'Mara has been Batman in this universe.
Okay.
So, you know, it kind of be messed up to take his job.
Yeah, but Kevin Conroy.
I know, he's definitely Batman to me, but, you know, yeah, it's
to everyone, like, come on. I'm not saying James O'Mara did a bad job or anything, because he didn't, but it's like...
Yeah, he's a little stupid, but...
Yeah, if you get Kevin Conroy, you get Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, you get Kevin Conroy. I'm not disagreeing, but that's
like having Mark Hamill in a Star Wars movie not playing Luke Skywalker. Like, why the f*** is he here then? Like, I don't know.
That's true. All right, anyway, Kevin Conroy. Gray... Delisle, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time we came across this one. Robin Atkin Downs. Every time I see that name, I want to say Robert Downey Jr.
And we have his name up here before for something.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of indies. Yeah. Here's the one that surprised all of us. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a better reaction off screen, but I was like, what? And who's he playing, TJ?
He plays the doll maker.
Yeah. I was like, what?
You know, he does a decent job, too, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I mean, he's probably a good actor. It's just, you know Weird Al for being Weird Al. So it's like him doing a good role as that character is like, wow, holy shit.
Anyway.
He didn't even sound like Weird Al. Like, that's bizarre to me.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have known unless I read the credits list.
No.
Anyway. Trevor Duvall, Griffin Gluck, Peter Onorati, and Andrea Romano.
She's like in movies.
Huh?
She's been like in almost all these movies. You know that, right?
Yeah. She's always playing like random side characters somewhere.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, Hollywood being sexist and shit. Who knows?
So, not really anything behind the scenes. Obviously, this has got a couple sequels because it's in this universe, so we'll get to that back to that. But the most interesting thing is apparently it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's stupid.
So take that for what it is.
Bullshit. I like the movie, but it's not 100%.
Yeah, no, it's not 100%. No. So the film also earned $4.2 million in domestic home video sales, bringing us to...
Did you do the runtime already?
Yeah, we did that a while ago.
Did you? Okay, okay.
Because we said it was 120 minutes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Did you do release date? I guess you did, yeah.
Yeah, 2015.
I mean, I was not paying attention. I was probably getting a pizza. We're going to the box office! Woo! So last week we did 60 to 55 because random shit, why not? So today we're going to do 54 to 50. So if you guys don't remember last week, number 55, because why not, was Mr. Six. No, we're doing 55 through 50. Last week, number 56 was Point Break.
Oh, right. Okay, so I don't remember the sixth one. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no.
I remember Point Break. I remember talking about Point Break, but...
I just want to say, because I just like saying Point Break is fun. It's a good movie. The original one was. This one was probably not that good. At number 55 was a movie called Mr. Six.
Don't know what that is.
Here to watch. Should I read what it's about? Let's read what it's about. A well-respected man residing in what's left of old Beijing attempts to exonerate his son from the wrongdoings with his own methods and beliefs.
Hmm. Is it an American movie?
No, it's overseas.
Oh, well. Okay. Hmm. Let's say, that doesn't sound like a very...
Yeah.
Sounds like a... If it was an American movie, it would sound very political.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I'll keep that open for later so I can remind myself. That made $139 million. At number 54, we have a movie called Trainwreck, which made $140 million.
No idea what that is either.
That's a rom-com. I don't even want to talk about it. It's a rom-com. It's a rom-com.
What'd you see it?
I've seen trailers for it. I was like, I'm not going to watch that.
Okay.
At this next one, number 53, with $146 million, we have a movie called The Last Witch Hunter. I think that one stars Vin Diesel. It's a fantasy movie. Is it him or Nicolas Cage? I gotta look this up now.
I don't think it's either one of them.
No, because I remember one of them being a shitty movie like that.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that one. If it's the one I'm thinking of.
This one stars Vin Diesel, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's not the one I was thinking of. I don't know. The
Nicolas Cage one, maybe. Oh, what were you thinking of?
I remember, like, brothers hunting witches or something.
Oh, the Brothers Grimm?
Maybe it was the Brothers Grimm. Maybe. It's possible.
That one would have, like, Matt Damon. And
all I know is that it had, like, siblings hunting witches.
It was either Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunter, whatever the hell that one, that had Jeremy Renner and Guillermo del Toro. Who the hell was that? Maybe that? I don't know. It's just bad fantasy movies from the early 2000s. At number 52, Gods of Egypt. We talked about that before. $150 million.
We did talk about that before. Why did we talk about it before?
I don't know. Like, I feel we did this box office before, maybe for one of our picks or something. Because all this stuff, because even at number 51, we talked about the Monkey King Hero is Back, $153 million.
Wait, a Monkey King Heroes? What?
Hero is Back.
Hero is Back?
Hero is Back, I guess. The all-powerful Monkey King was imprisoned by the gods for 500 years.
But when we did talk about
this. Yeah. Right?
What's number 50?
We talked about this, too. The Hateful Eight. The Quentin Tarantino movie, which is really good.
Never saw it.
All right. So I got a trailer for Justice League. Throne of Atlantis.
It's a really bad movie.
I got a trailer.
Like, I kind of want to go back and say, like, that movie and give it a... What did I give it? 3.
I think you gave it a 3.
Continue.
I got a trailer for Batman Unlimited Animal Instincts.
Ugh. And why haven't we reviewed this?
Because it hasn't come up yet. It's on the list. But all I've ever known about it was like the cover art. Yeah. And now that I've seen the trailer.
You're waiting for my misery, huh?
You're going to love it.
You're a monster. You are a mean person. You know that?
It's not what I expected. I'll tell you that much.
What do you expect from something like that?
I was expecting Batman, like, with Transformers.
Nah, it's gonna be, like, pets talking or some shit.
I also got a trailer for Son of Batman, which we both hated.
Yeah, I don't recall that movie, so I must have hated it. Well, it was this, and the girls were like, yeah.
It was with Deathstroke, yeah, for some reason.
Yeah.
They
sidelined. What girl was that? What female character did they sideline in that movie?
Talia.
Is it Talia?
Talia Ghoul. They turned her into a damsel. Then I got a movie for Lego DC Justice League versus Bizarro Justice League.
Bizarro? Okay, I'm kind of interested in that.
Which is a false label because it looked like the Bizarro and the League and the Justice League team up and fight Darkseid.
But they don't? Yeah.
At least according to the trailer.
That's any versus movie. They fight for a hot second to team up against the ultimate bad guy.
But it's Bizarro.
Yeah, but, you know.
You would think it would just fight evil versions of themselves.
I guess they wanted to make a twist on that.
I don't know. But then I got the trailer for the greatest movie ever made.
What?
Flintstones and WWE Stone Age SmackDown.
Oh my god, I want to watch that. That sounds amazing.
So bad.
Okay, maybe... No, I'm looking at the... Is it animated, or is it like a live action?
What, the Scooby-Doo? I mean,
the Flintstones.
Yeah, it's animated.
Huh.
It looks awful.
It looks awesome. We should watch that.
Anyway, that was that. You want to tackle this movie?
I could. Now, because I'll hype it up too much. I need you to talk me down.
All right.
I genuinely enjoyed this movie a lot. I was surprised.
Like this movie too. Yeah, the movie, that's not especially good. The opening really set the tone. So,
TJ, can we talk about that?
Yeah, let me just set it up real quick. The first act, the Batmobile is driving to this abandoned city, and Robin stole the Batmobile.
And I'll say this right now. That happened. It's like, okay, like, it's like that for some reason, like, hit points of like, it's gonna be like another movie I don't care about,
right? Yeah, so it's like, oh, they're still fighting from the last one. Then, but Robin's discovered some missing children and he goes to investigate this warehouse. And then go ahead, Marcus, you seem to want to talk about it. So,
no, talk about it. So, it's so good, TJ. It's so dark and good.
Batman and Robin finds kids in cages. And we get introduced to the doll maker.
Played by Weird Al Yankovic.
Played by Weird Al Yankovic, who is actually, let me look at the design of him real quick in the animated.
It's different.
Well, the doll maker. It's not the actual doll maker from, it's not the doll maker from the comic.
Because the other one's skinnier, right? And tinier.
He's skinnier and have dreadlocks.
Yes, which I think is, both designs are fantastic. Like
this design is actually in the comics, though. He was actually a minion of the doll maker. And
this guy.
Yeah, this guy. Okay. And the Joker actually murdered him.
This guy or the original doll maker?
No, this guy right here. This guy. Wow. This design character was a minion of the doll maker, and Joker actually murdered him because he wanted the doll maker to cut off his face, and so doll maker sent him this guy to do it. I'm assuming they don't really explain it.
Okay.
And, Joker's like, no, I want the best to cut off my face. So he kills him, and he gets captured and goes to Arkham, and that's where the Dollmaker finds him and cuts off his face. But
well, see, that anyway, shit's Edward's. But this stuff in this movie, TJ?
The Dollmaker has been kidnapping children and experimenting on them and turning them into living dolls.
Yes.
And then, so Robin starts fighting them, and then Batman comes in, and then we see Batman kicking the crap out of children while the Dollmaker runs away, and Robin chases him. And then they get into a fight, and it looks like Robin's about to kill him, but no, the Dollmaker is murdered with his heart ripped out by our antagonist in the movie, Talon. So that is the setup for the movie.
TJ, this Dollmaker arc is so eerie, terrifying, sympathetic. Like, it feels, you feel so many emotions in these, was it 10 minutes? Yeah. Not even 10 minutes, 5 minutes, TJ.
I
Seven
know,
this, minutes. This, it's like, wow, that's amazing.
This was really a good opening. I was like, I'm like, wow, this is super dark. And yeah. It's like, and when Batman frees the kid from the cage and she runs and just hugs him.
Oh, almost cried. Like, I felt anger towards Dollmaker, but like, sorry, because he expositioned his backstory. Like, I was destroyed as a kid, so I'm gonna help these guys be strong. Like, wow, like this fits the Todd McFarlane's universe, the Batman movies that were going on right now. They should make a movie around this. I would watch 5 hours of this. TJ, this is a Batman and Robin investigating kids missing, and this shit happened. Like, this is so good, and it's dark and good. And it's a new villain we've never seen before on TV, TJ. Like, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, this was really good. I'm actually looking at the screen writer's credits right now to see what else he's done.
Okay, because like that, just those, that I can watch that open. It's so good. Like, god damn it. Because there's no Joker, there's no fucking Two-Face, it's the Dollmaker. Who? Exactly. New character, guys. Enjoy this.
I'm not really seeing a lot of, like, movie stuff in from what I hear. Like, the writer is actually a comic book writer, it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done a lot of comics. He's wrote for Action Comics, Adventure Comics. He's been writing since like the 70s, it looks like.
Oh wow. That's a long time.
Yeah. He looks like he got started in 1980, actually.
Oh, the JM guy?
The JM guy, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Because this feels like right out of the comic books. It makes sense now.
Yes.
That we actually had a comic book writer actually do the writing on this, which makes sense because the director didn't do a bad job too, but he didn't write the story.
No. And this pacing in this opening part is so good too.
Yeah, he also did some Spider-Man stuff, Star Wars stuff apparently. Yeah, he's written all kinds of, he's written all over the place.
Like, this makes me want to read his stuff. It's like, Nick Pickens, like, not Nick Pickens,
I've been. He also wrote a couple more of the movies we're going to be covering coming up, too.
Oh, I'm excited. See, that I'm excited now.
Yeah. He wrote Batman Bad Blood, which we'll cover next year. Justice League Dark. Yeah, so those are coming up. He also wrote a lot of the Batman, the Brave and the Bold cartoon. He also wrote some Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's just that Batman movie that came out in 2020-something, whatever. I think this would be a great sequel. Or threequel, or whatever, in that universe.
It's just dark. The Dollmaker?
Yeah, this shit right here. Just a Batman trying to investigate missing kids. And then that's be the reveal. Like, this be a fun. And it's a fresh character. That's my biggest thing. It's a character I haven't seen done to death.
Oh, that's true.
And that's, like, great. They're not going to do it because they can't sell that. They need a Penguin, Two-Face, and all the fucking rogues, the main guys. But this is new. This is good to me.
I didn't even consider that. Like, I am so attached to the Rogues Gallery.
Yes.
Because I read a lot of the early Batmans, like from the 1930s, 1940s, and they use a lot of just random mobsters.
Yeah.
It's a mobster Bobo of the week.
Yes.
And it's like, I would kill for a Rogues Gallery character at that point. So I'm like, that's why I'm so attached, you know? It's like,
That's fair. But this is like a rogue. This feels like a Rogues Gallery character that's just like, has not been touched yet and milked to death. Why I think I like this movie, because there's this guy and there's Talon. There's no other Rogues Gallery. Is there any, like, we don't see Joker or anybody else. So, like, that's what's refreshing about this movie is, like, okay, they actually have all the villains I care about besides Mr. Freeze and
Hank. To be f- to be fair, these are the villains that were created for the New 52 reboot. So, like, right. the Talon and the Dollmaker. They're literally only, I will say, 3 years old, 4 years old by the time this movie came out. So,
wow. I can use more of that. I don't want you, like, don't milk them to death like they do with everyone else, but, like, I'm fine with having these characters exist.
Like, the Court of Owls also, just for the, it was created in the New 52. So, like, and the Court of Owls was so popular. When we get to
that, I'm going to gush about that.
Because when the Court of Owls...
I can see why.
It was so popular. That's why they adopted it into this. They knew they had something with it.
Yeah, like that. And then, like, I got everything about, like, all these story arcs in this movie. I was like, yes, more of all of this, please. That's all. But yeah, Toymaker, thumbs up. Dollmaker. Any more of that. Dollmaker.
Yeah. That was the opening. We usually just cover the acts, but the opening was needed to be its own section.
Oh, God. It was so good.
It was really solid. Weird Al did a really good job.
And that's Weird Al. F*** man. Like, this is crazy. So many levels. Like, I feel like just at this first 7 minutes made me feel so many emotions. Even now, once I revealed Weird Al, it's like so many movies have missed the ball. Justice League and other shit movies we've seen. Like, this 7 minutes is good.
Well, this movie actually gives me hope for the animated future.
Yes, because we were upset for a little bit about it. We were, like, worried.
Yeah, we were, like, getting to a point where it's like, is this what we realize? Is this why everyone's really gushing over this garbage?
Yeah. Like, oh, this movie.
Like, yeah, we put the animated features in here because we wanted to counteract all the bad live action stuff we were going to have to watch. And now we got nothing but, like, garbage animated features. And it's like, what is everyone talking about?
And shockingly, this 52 shit is what's making us hopeful.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
All right. So, essentially, the first act is...
Sorry, I'm just kids in cages, man, with masks on. Like, TJ, this is so dark and good.
Not only kids in masks, they he cut off their arms and replaced it with saws and stuff. Those kids are
flamethrowers. It's like, what the shit?
Those kids are brutalized and mutilated.
Yes. Like, that's the rate of our Batman I could see. Sorry. And I don't want always dark Batman, but this is a dark Batman. I wouldn't mind.
Well, Batman's the problem with dark Batman is Batman's not supposed to be dark. He just deals with dark situations.
Yes.
His rogues gallery are supposed to be monsters.
Yes, you know? And this is a f***ing monster. But an understandable, but you understand him.
Yeah. So, like, and they always try to make the mistake with Batman and Bruce Wayne in particular to make him super brooding and, like, he doesn't get it, understand? Like, the characterization, like I said, the Batman stuff in the New 52 is good, but the characterization of Batman is still kind of garbage. Like, even you can even see it in the movie itself, where he's like, just tell your kid what's going on.
Yes.
Maybe he'll understand. Stop treating him like he's a prisoner and you won't freak. Maybe you'll get somewhere. Sure, he's still going to rebel and shit, but come on. Stop being an idiot.
Like, it's like, just be honest with your kid. He'll start showing respect and, like, trusting you. Not right, hard to be a parent, people, Batman. People.
It's like, of course he's not gonna trust and respect you if you don't trust and respect him. It's like, exactly. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
Like, and I get it. He doesn't, he's an assassin. He's got this killer instinct, but, like, you've been training him, right? There's a certain point you're just gonna have to trust him.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's essentially the first act.
Yeah. Yeah. Good segue.
Like, it's just we're building up Batman and Robin, it's essentially, here. And you got a whole mystery going on, like, there's a fairy tale about the Court of Owls that no one believes in and stuff like that. And, it kind of just builds from there.
Yeah.
Like, there are acts, but this is more of, like, okay, it's mystery acts. You set up, and then you're in the process in discovering, and then it's revealed, and then you have to deal with the consequences of that revelation.
All while trying to keep Robin from, well, it's justice, not vengeance. So, like, try to keep Robin from doing this thing. And
it's from murdering, yes.
What?
I'm just trying to remember.
Okay. Does he murder in this?
Yeah. Does he kill anyone in this? Does he kill Talon at the end? Huh. Because at the end of the Batman and Robin story arc where they're fighting nobody, Robin actually kills him.
Yeah.
To save his dad, essentially. He kills nobody because his dad can't, and that's an aftermath thing and stuff like that. So I just having trouble remembering how the movie ended.
Oh, Talon forces Robin to kill him.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. They copped it out a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robin actually, yeah. like, Batman's gonna let the nobody guy live, and Robin actually, like, uses a move that you can paralyze a person by using it, but if you put too much pressure, you can kill him, and he actually sticks his fingers right through his forehead.
Jesus Christ.
The new 1952 stuff is dark, and, like, but it's, like, edgelord dark.
Yeah.
So, that's why it's over garbage. The
top. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So...
like, some of it's good. Dollmaker stuff's good, but that kind of shit is like, oh, wow, yeah. It's a shock value to be shock value. Okay.
I mean, it makes sense, the him killing him and saving him because he would keep coming and stuff like that. And, you know, it progressed storylines and stuff. It's just like,
yes.
He just stuck his two fingers into this guy's head. Anyway, back to the Court of Owls, essentially. Like, I'm having trouble, like, summarizing what happens because...
the Court of Owls or...
like, what's in this movie in general? Because, like I said, like, there's no real act structure that defines the acts.
It's just we discover, like, okay, Wayne has a girlfriend. Girlfriend, what would you call her? A mistress? He's got a new fling.
It's a girlfriend.
Yeah, he's got a girlfriend. He keeps trying to get on dates with her, et cetera, but he can't because he's always got distractions with, you know, Robin. Or the Court of Owls trying to get him involved because he's got plans for the city and they're like an overlooming, controlling presence. They're trying to rebuild their thing. Mm-hmm. But also they have a secret ninja army going along too. Okay, I'm on top of the Court of Owls. I like the Court of Owls a lot. Like, I like the whole mysterious presence and that leap, you know, leaping leap bullshit, Eyes Wide Shut shit. Like, that could be an old TV show they can do, like, you know, a long-term mystery show of that. I highly enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the Court of Owls is... it's good. My only problem is with it is just like, why did they decide to come out now? If they've been hit, Batman's been active for how long now?
A long time. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it doesn't make sense in dead.
No, like that's like if DC were to do a universe successfully, they'd be a thing to have as a running background or later presence. Like how Hydra was. That's what they could do in the DC universe, or at least in the Batman universe.
So like. It makes more sense in the comics because Bruce is setting off on a new campaign to rebuild Gotham, to change Gotham, essentially.
Yes.
And that ruffles the Court of Owls, like, bottom line. So now... oh,
you missed the pun, TJ. It ruffles their feathers. Come on, man.
No, I didn't miss the pun. I avoided the pun.
I know you did, but you can't avoid your... you see, you're Mr. Pun. You can't avoid that.
You told me I wasn't allowed to do puns anymore.
Well, that's a perfect one. You couldn't avoid that.
Anyway, they ruffle their bottom line. And so they come out and they try to and they stop them because, you know, it still doesn't kind of make sense because, like, wasn't Bruce Wayne? I guess Bruce Wayne's doing it on a massive scale. And I guess he's kind of doing it in this too. They do allude to it that with that, model of Gotham he has that he shows the girlfriend.
But it's not enough. Granted, this is what the twist and it makes sense why they do it now. It makes sense. But
yeah. Well, and she's not even in the comics. She's not even a comic book character. She was created for this.
Okay, I kind of like that twist, but whatever. I think this movie could have been longer, that's all. And have more of that, him trying... My argument of him making the city better, I would like to see more of that shit. Like, so that'd make
it longer. The movie opens with Bruce Wayne and an actual fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm raising funds to rebuild the city. I want you all to help me, because Gotham is, you know, our thing.
Yeah.
So, it makes sense. Now he's trying to take over Gotham on a... higher level, essentially. So it brings out these guys who run the city in secret or whatever. But yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out what triggers the Court of Owls to come after him in this.
I think his reveal, because spoiler alert, his girlfriend turns out to be Mr. Nobody, I guess.
Like the Grand Master of that, the Court of Owls or something.
Yeah. And so, but he shows her the plans, I guess, which triggers her to, like, okay, we should bring him in now because he's like on the same length as us. He's also got a lot of money and power. So bring
him in. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to bring him.
Yeah.
And they go after Batman because Batman is getting close to the trail, essentially.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So, that's right. So, like, the first act is, you know, all building all this up. In the second act, Talon actually starts to try and incorporate Robin to the Court of Owls, too.
Yep.
So, that's pretty much the second act. And then the third act is Batman and Robin kind of coming together. The Court of Owls actually gets murdered pretty early by the Talon, who's recruiting Robin because they want him to kill Robin, but he's decided he's like a son to him all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And so he kills all the Quarter Vowels and takes all the Talons and attacks Wayne Manor.
Yeah, there's like a mech suit fight for some reason.
Well, they're essentially fighting zombies,
mm-hmm.
which in this version they melt for some reason. In the comics, they don't expire like that. I don't know why they added that to this. I guess they didn't figure out a reason why Bruce would survive in the museum at one point.
Yeah. So how does he defeat them in the comics? Because they don't melt. They are fragile to sub-zero temperatures in this movie.
Right. Well, he does blow one up and turns into pieces. So they can be incapacitated for a short amount of time, essentially.
Okay.
So when he incapacitates them and takes them to the cave, and then they realize, oh, if we lower the core temperature of them, they become weaker, essentially. So the weakness is extreme cold. Not just random suddenly exploded into black goo for some reason.
Gotcha. Well, I know we glossed over Talon killing the Quarter Owls. I thought that was ridiculous. Because the only reason he kills the Quarter Owls is because they all find out Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they can't keep that secret out there, so they have to kill everyone who hears that. But there's so many people in that courtroom, there's no way he kills them all.
There are a lot of people in that courtroom, a lot more than
what he has on him and could handle.
Right, like, not only that, but more than I think a secret society could handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Let that slip.
Okay.
Like, go back to the comic books, the same thing happens. Like I told you, the Lincoln March kills them in that one.
Yeah.
Except Lincoln March invites them all to, like, their secret hideout and poisoned the wine they were drinking, so they all die that way in that one.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's still like, why did you, it's, I didn't understand why kill off the Court of Owls, you know what I'm saying, for this random big bad villain at the end.
Makes sense. It's just because they heard Batman is Bruce Wayne. The writers are like, shit, kill them, I guess.
Well, no, even in the comics, they kill off the Court of Owls. It's like for Lincoln March, because the Court of Owls gets betrayed by their underling. That's the story of this. And it's like, it's kind of lame, you know what I mean?
I guess they didn't know how to handle the Court of Owls. So like,
now, they do mention later that that's not all of the Court of Owls.
Which makes sense.
But like, it's like, at the same time, then why did you bother killing them off in the first place? Because it's because you're right. They revealed the identity, so we can't have that. So So why reveal the identity then? It's like, exactly. Now you're just giving us fake tension.
Yeah.
It's like, someone knows Batman's true identity. He's not surviving this.
Yeah, exactly. Either they're not physically surviving that or mentally. Like what was it? Batman and Forever, the Riddler, goes mentally crazy.
Yeah.
Because he can't know who Batman is.
There was another movie we watched recently that did the same thing. That did the same exact thing. So I was like, yeah, it's stupid. It's which like, one? I don't know. It was one of the animated movies, I think. At the end, there was one of them. I don't remember which one it was or why it happened, but someone figured out the identity, but they were like in Arkham and they didn't remember it.
Fuck, what was that? Was that the Justice League Assault on Arkham?
It's a movie I'm leaning towards too, because it was the Riddler was in that one too. And I think it was a Riddler, another Riddler thing. And we're like, oh, that's Batman Forever. I think we said that.
Yeah, because something. Yeah, you're right. It was one of these animated movies. They figure him out, and then something happens to him. Wow, that movie must have been that bad. We don't remember. Wow.
Yeah, these animated movies take a toll.
They do, but this one I'm gonna remember. I'll tell you that right now.
No, this one was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble going over it. I'm actually having trouble coming up with things to talk about too, because it is just a solid movie.
Yeah, exactly. And
We could just gush over it, but like, it's like, eh.
No, yeah. I didn't. Okay, here's one thing. There's two critiques I have. I don't, the mech thing was stupid. I get it why it's there, I guess, because why not? But the mech fight at the end was stupid.
Hold on. To go back to the mech thing. So the mech thing, at least in the explanation in the comic books, was so that it's a suit that he goes to places for extreme temperatures, and since they have to lower the cave's temperature below freezing level, so he can actually fight in that thing. That's why
that makes sense. That's fair.
So, and I think that's the same reason in here. Okay. Good. And the second,
I actually care for Pennyworth's. Yeah, the Pennyworth Alfred. I didn't really care for his characterization in this movie. He seemed like not bumbling and like overly sympathetic, but he did seem just a weaker character than what I'm used to seeing from him.
I guess he let Batman roll over him a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
too much.
It's like, Batman's always going to say mean things to Alfred, mm-hmm. but Alfred's going to come back with a sarcastic remark and put him in his place.
Yes.
And that wasn't in this. And my one critique is that this whole story in the comics is basically around, and it's my problem with that story in general, around Nightwing. Nightwing's supposed to be a part of the Court of Owls, and yet he's not a part of the Court of Owls storyline.
In this movie or in the
in the comics either. It takes the whole Court of Owls storyline takes place in Batman, and Nightwing's off traveling with Haley Circus trying to figure out the mystery on his end, but he's not dealing with the Court of Owls.
So you'd rather see him properly in it and doing of it.
Right. Why is he even here?
He's here because...
he gets his ass kicked throughout the entire movie.
Well, because he's here because he was in the first one.
Yeah. But in this movie, he literally serves no purpose but to get his ass kicked. And to be a foil to Damian.
Because he was in the first one with Damian. They fought. He won. So I guess they had to have them be a thing again in this one. But yeah, he does get his ass kicked frequently in this movie.
Yeah, it's like you're just here to... You're just like, why even bother putting him in it? It's like makes no. It's like an insult to the character almost. Makes him look weak.
It did make him look weak. I'll give you that. Yes.
And yeah, technically, in continuity, in the New 52 continuity, about 3 years ago, Dick Grayson was Batman with Damian as his Robin.
Holy shit!
Because Bruce got, I'm using quotation marks here, killed in one of the big crossovers events.
Oh, he got. That sucks. But you
and
know.
So for like a year, Dick Grayson took over as Batman with Damian Wayne as his Robin.
Oh, okay.
But Bruce didn't actually die when he got hit with, I think it was Darkseid's Omega beams, and instead of him dying, he got sent back into the past.
Of course.
So I don't know how that resolved. I actually haven't read those comics, but
we will one day. Trust me, we will.
I will.
Well, you know,
because you don't read any comics.
No. I guess we just wrap this movie up. I guess.
Yeah, let's finish this off.
Yeah. That's a good movie. It's I wasn't expecting there is a fight. I guess we didn't talk about it. The movie's called Batman vs. Robin. There is a point where they fight each other, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I guess we should.
Because they have to fight each other because that's the title, obviously.
Yeah. But Batman, they fight and then they fall off a roof. But instead of Batman actually cushions Robin's fall so he doesn't get hurt.
That. I love that. I wish, that's another minor critique. The movie should have been leading up to that fight in a more dramatic way.
Yeah.
It just comes out of nowhere. Like, oh, we got to fight now because that's the title.
And this is actually the first, the Son of Batman did not do a good job with their relationship.
No.
But this movie, there was little father-son moments that were really cool.
Yes.
Bruce just catches, it was, Damian was reading Dickens or something. He's like, do you ever see the movie based on that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go watch a movie.
It's adorable.
So, yeah. So there's good character development in this. Yes. So
a good Batman movie can be done, apparently. I don't hate. I didn't have a random tangent in this movie thinking about it because of that.
Yeah, no, you actually like the Batman movie.
Because it does things I wanted. A new villain that I didn't know before. Him trying to improve the city. Fantastic. Mystery and intrigue. Like, it wasn't just a typical checkmark Batman movies. This felt like inspired.
Do you like the other Batman movies, though?
There are some I definitely liked, and some I recognize I might have hated it, but they were okay movies.
What was the other Batman movie you really got into that I did not like?
Well, there was that Superman movie you hated that I liked.
Did you like the Batman Assault on Arkham? I think you liked
it. I did enjoy it. I recognize how stupid it was, but I did enjoy it.
Did you like The Dark Knight Returns, too? I think you liked the first part of that.
Yes. I want to say I believe so.
You liked the first part of it until Batman fought Superman. I think that's how it was.
Yeah. I don't recall those movies enough to give you a definitive answer, but...
Yeah, and then I think you liked Batman Year One, too.
I think I did, too. Yeah, there's some Batman movies I do enjoy, but this one for sure. Anyways, Batman versus Robin.
Yes. What are you giving it?
It's a solid. I really like this movie, and I thought this review made me hate it, but I really like this movie. Shit, TJ. I don't know. Just that opening act alone, I could just watch a movie, like a 2-hour movie of them trying to figure out what's going on with these kids, who's doing it. The Court of Owls shit's really good. The twist was okay. The white girl being
it wasn't really a twist.
No, but it's like something you don't expect. It wasn't a twist to make the movie or break the movie.
Like they kind of reveal that two thirds into the movie when she's sleeping with the Talon guy.
Yes. Is there a twist in this movie, though, really? I don't think there really is a twist.
No. It's just a mystery.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I like that. This might be like an 8, TJ. Maybe.
That's a fair. that's what you want.
The things I didn't like were the mech thing, which makes sense. We talk about it. Alfred was kind of weak, little bitch in this, but not really. And the fight could have been more emotional of him versus Robin. But besides that, like, it's a solid movie. I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10.
It's a fair score.
How about you?
I think I'm a little harder on it.
Yeah?
I think I'm a 7.
Any reasons why in particular?
Honestly, I thought you said this movie could have been longer. I think it was a little too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a couple times. Like, I was checking the time a few times, and, like, it fits a lot in there, but, like, I felt the three storylines that were really squeezed in there. So I felt it was a little long on my part. But I also didn't like the Talon, like, trying to recruit Damien part.
Oh, why not?
It just felt, it felt forced watching it. And then I remembered why, because of the comic story arc they are adapting to it. It's like the Talons, this Talon's supposed to be some zombie thing, and all of a sudden he's, like, I get it, he's this generation's Talon, but, like, they don't tell us who he is. They don't give us a name or anything.
In the comics or in this?
In this.
Oh, because they give him a backstory a little bit, so there's that. But, yeah, they don't really humanize him in that
What sense. Is his backstory?
He was... he says, yeah, that's exposition, he was a kid, he had a mentor or a dad, whatever the guy was to him.
The thief. Yeah, that was at it. That was at it for this. And it was like, I guess, but, like, it just, the Talon, I don't know, I just feel like, why did he betray his whole court of, like, the court of owls, or Talons, are supposed to be their weapons, they're supposed to have, like, almost complete control over them.
Yeah.
So, it's like, then you don't have control over this Talon, and he's just gonna kill the entire court of owls?
Well, it's because, remember, he didn't go through the process yet, they were still like, hey, by the way, you're gonna die for us, right? He was, like, still like,
yeah,
don't know about
but
that.
Like, and I hate to go this route, but in the comics.
Which is fine. That's your part in this whole review thing, so that's fine.
Like, the whole point is the way they train them is they break them as kids when they're training them. So they're supposed to be obedient to a fault, essentially. Yeah. And once they start breaking those rules and habits, then they retire them and put them through the process.
And see, that's why I said this movie should be longer, because they could have gone more into that and more into just the small character details and development. Like, so I do agree, like, his stuff felt weird and off, and, like,
It feels like they adapted a different character story arc, which they did.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
So, like, even now that I even think about it, the whole my dad was a thief thing was the Henry Descartes storyline. It's just they didn't give him that much prevalence, and it just, like, here's his backstory, and I don't know, it just didn't sit right with me. And there's also the whole predictability thing. Of course, he's Robin, he's not gonna go with the Talon.
Exactly. Although so, that'd be cool, like, to have that happen. Maybe it could have been, like, a two-part movie. Like, oh, he goes with the Talon for a bit. End of that first movie.
But, like, that's not the point of it. The point is he's Batman and Robin growing closer and, you know,
well, like,
realizing...
That could be part of, like, my problem, I'm rewriting the movie. The first movie is they get into that fight and he decides to go with Talon in the first movie. And Batman wins him over in the second movie and become father-son kind of thing. So that could have been a thing, but that's rewriting the movie, so I can't judge at that, say, but yeah.
And for some reason, and maybe I don't know, I'm remembering a different thing that I watched, but I thought some of the character movements were a little stilted in the animation. Was I crazy?
No. The animation wasn't great in this movie. Not saying it was bad or anything, but it wasn't, like, I think the last movie had better animation, right?
Yeah, I think we liked the animation in the last one. Some of the movements just feel a little stiff.
Yeah.
If I was like, it was noticeable, and I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, those were essentially my problems, but I really did enjoy the movie.
Okay.
But I just not in love with the movie like you are.
And I told you, I liked it because it was fresh villains for me. And
yeah, no, like, I'm not knocking the 8 is perfectly reasonable. Yeah. I'm just at a 7. But then again, I'm a Batman fanboy, so.
Which is weird because I'm usually lower than you, especially on Batman shit, but, like.
Well, that's because I was going to say don't like Batman, but apparently you do.
Apparently I do. After that conversation, yeah.
Until the next Batman movie.
Which is Batman.
Then you're going to hate
it. Let's hold on.
Batman Unlimited Animal Instinct.
Yeah, yep, I'm going to hate that Batman. But yeah, Batman vs. Robin, a watchable movie, a watchable animated 52 movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, probably go check it out.
Just watch
at least that first opening.
I was going to say, watch the first 8 minutes, you're done. Oh, so good, DJ.
And then the rest of the movie's bad. It's
how do we end this?
I guess that's it.
Yeah, okay.
I guess we're done.
Okay.
Bye.